Well, today I want to bring what I know God has put in my heart and dropped in my heart concerning intercessory prayer for Mother's Day. As I was just really praying about this and really seeking God, because God has just arrested my heart concerning intercessory prayer, and how powerful that it is. But today, I want to talk to you about birthing God's designs. Birthing God's designs. And let me say this, you are that design. I am that design. Every single human being on this earth, regardless of how you got into the earth, but every single human being, regardless of the color of your skin, you are God's design. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean to design something? Listen to this definition. To design something means to plan and fashion the plan artistically and skillfully for an intended and definite purpose. And you know what? That's exactly what God did in your mother's womb. He planned for you to be here. He fashioned you for the plan that He has just for you. And He wove you and painted you. The color of your skin, that is from God. It is, regardless of what other people think, it is from God. He artistically planned you. He skillfully wove you in that womb. And then He put within you the plans and the purposes that He has specifically for you. Listen to Psalms 139, verses 13 through 16. This is the psalmist speaking. And by the way, when I read this, let me say something to you. Some of you may think, well, you don't know how I got into this earth. I came by means that I don't want to talk about. Did you know that one of the greatest men in the Bible, actually most theologians, because of what he said, came from a marriage outside of wedlock? Did you know that? You know who that person was? King David. He actually said that I was conceived in sin. And so look at King David and look at how God used him, because he availed himself to the Lord. He came to know the God of covenant. It is absolutely amazing. But that's all through the Bible. Did you know that in the lineage of Jesus, when we talk about all the people that were in his bloodline, and of course we know his bloodline came from the Father, but in his biological birth, did you know, when you read the genealogy of Jesus in Matthew, did you know that Rahab is in there? Do you know who Rahab was? Rahab was a prostitute. And out from her, when God changed her life, out from her, literally, she's in the genealogy of Jesus. I'm telling you, God has got some incredible plans for you, but you've got to change the way you see yourself and the way you think about yourself. Because somebody has educated you in wrong thinking to think just because of the way you look, who you are, where you came from, what's happened to you in your past, something is wrong or God can't use you. That is a lie from the pit of hell, because you are extremely important to this day and time in history. Listen to Psalms 139, verse 13. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I want you to say that with me. Are you ready for this? Say this with me. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And by the way, who made you fearfully and wonderfully made? God did. Watch this. Marvelous of your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret. And here's that word, skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance, yet being unformed. That was the embryo. And in your book, listen to this very carefully. And in your book, they were all written. What was written? Your autobiography. In your book, in whose book? In God's book, they were all written, the days fashioned for me. Remember the definition of design? A plan and fashion. They were planned. The days fashioned for me. God has fashioned a day and a time for you. When, as yet, they were none of them. When hadn't lived a single one. Did you know that God's perception of you was established in his heart before your conception? Let me say that one more time. God's perception of you, who you really are because you came from him. The body is the DNA biologically from your family, but your spirit man, your spirit inside of here came from God because he's the father of all spirits. So you created in his image. So God's perception of you was established in his heart long before your conception. Man. So what did he do? He had you birthed into this earth at a certain time. He even chose the generation that you would be born into, and he planned for you to be an influence and to make a difference and to make a mark on society for him, regardless of your vocation. So as a son and daughter of God, being born again by the Spirit of God, we have been given the privilege to give birth to God's purposes and plans into our world. You and I. Wow, he chose us to do that. We're privileged to do that. Now, you got to be born again before you ever start walking into what he's fashioned for you. Even though there's times that there's such things have been integrated on the inside of us to the point that, I love to do this, I love to do that, and a lot of you chose your vocations because of what has been integrated in you, in your spirit, man, by the Spirit of God. So one of these ways that is so powerful, and one of the instruments and one of the weapons also that God has given to us of birthing methods and birthing his purpose and birthing his plan into our lives and into this world is intercessory prayer. Intercessory prayer is so powerful. I said this in my prayer. God is sovereign, but God made a sovereign choice. And in that sovereign choice, now God can do anything. But he sovereignly chose to give authority to man. So the things that he desires to do in this earth, he's got to find somebody who will believe him. He's got to find somebody who will pray. He's got to find an intercessor. And by the way, intercessory prayer is not a call. Intercessory prayer is a privilege for all of us in the body of Christ. And also, it is a responsibility. So this kind of takes us over into a story in the Bible. Especially being today, about a woman, a mother-to-be, who was experiencing some extremely tough and difficult times. But so was her nation. Israel was backslidden. Immorality was abounding. And they were worshiping everything but God. And they were living in dark deception. And the revelation of God's word and his presence was almost non-existent in their place of worship. Why? Because they were just doing their own thing, what they wanted to do. It was all about them. They literally just about left God out of the situation. Matter of fact, one place says that they were doing what was right in their own eyes, which means they were rejecting what God wanted and just wanted to do what they wanted to do. But they were being influenced also by the culture. The culture had seeped in and they began to get their eyes on the way people were living in the culture and just say, well, I want to live like that. I want to do those things. I want to be free to do those things. And yet, when you are free, freedom of choice to do certain things that you see in the world and the culture, but eventually in doing those things, you'll find yourself in bondage. You'll find that it's not really freedom. You'll find that it's really slavery, okay? So in 1 Samuel, the 3rd chapter, verse 3, we pick up part of this story. If you've never read the story about Hannah and Samuel, you need to read it. So it says this, meanwhile, the boy Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli. Now, in those days, messages from the Lord were very rare, and visions were quite uncommon. One night, Eli, who was almost blind by now, he was the priest. He was the high priest, and it was like he couldn't see what he needed to see. There were no visions. He was not bringing the word of God like he said he would, or what God told him to do. And listen to this. This is the scary part. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the ark of God. But let me just tell you something about this story, okay? It was the priest that was responsible for not allowing the lamp of God to go out. He had to continue to replenish it with oil so that it would continue to burn. And let me tell you something. The Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians, it says, be filled. Keep being filled with the Spirit. It's the same thing with us. No, the Holy Spirit doesn't leak out. The Holy Spirit doesn't leave, but there are continuing fillings of the Holy Spirit. That's the reason the Bible says don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Overflow with the Spirit of the living God. Samuel, who represents revival, was sleeping at this time. It was a decadent time. But guess what? God is getting ready to wake him up. Getting ready to wake him up. And Samuel's going to grow in the middle of these dark times. I'm telling you right now, God is waking us. We're awakening up, and there are things that are now growing in this dark time in our own nation, as we're going to see God's hand move in all of this situation. So Samuel would be a prophetic voice of revival. God saw what was going on. God sees what's going on right now. But God had a plan to bring revival and reformation to Israel. He needed an intercessor, though. He needed an intercessor to co-labor with him to bring his intervention and purpose into the earth. How do we know that? Because in Ezekiel, the 22nd chapter, verse 30, it says this. God said, so I sought for a man among them who would make a wall. So if God is sovereign, why did he have to find a man to intercede? Okay, God made a sovereign choice. Read Psalms, the 8th chapter. He made a sovereign choice. He gave authority to us. And so he said, to stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, to stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land. Let me just real quickly tell you what has happened in America. The church, not all of the church, but a lot of the church has got more interested in their fame and reputation and their image than interceding and doing spiritual warfare against the enemy and getting our eyes on the harvest. We've got our eyes mostly on the selfie, even in church, than we have getting our eyes on the harvest and fulfilling the Great Commission. People say to me at times, what new thing is God doing? I said, why does he want to do a new thing? We hadn't got the old one right yet. We've got to fulfill the Great Commission. It's not about us. It's about people around us. It's about the world. It's about the harvest. It's about spiritual warfare. How Jesus went about doing good and healing all who are oppressed the devil. The Bible says in 1 John that Jesus was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. We've stopped destroying the works of the devil, and we're allowing the devil to destroy. And it's up to us to stop this. It is up to us. We have the keys of the kingdom. No entity on the face of the earth in the universe has the keys of the kingdom except for the church of Jesus Christ. And what are we doing with the keys? Are they hanging up on the key rack? What are we doing with the keys? So he said, I look for someone to stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found, this is crazy, but I found no one. I found no. God looked through the whole land. God was seeking to find an intercessor, and he couldn't find one. Today, he's looking for intercessors. He's looking for people that can put down their social media for just a period of time and begin to intercede and pray, not just for our nation, but for our own families and for our children. Matter of fact, if you look at the things that are going on right now, you can tell that there is a darkness, there is a wickedness, there is an ungodliness, there is an unrighteousness. There are plans and plots and schemes to destroy this nation. And you know what I'm thinking about? I'm not only thinking about the loss, but I'm thinking about my children, and I'm thinking about my grandchildren, and I'm thinking about what may be my great-grandchildren. Unless Jesus comes back, I got 120. The Bible says it right here. Praise God. So that's what I'm thinking about. I'm thinking about the generations that will come after me. Not just thinking about myself. What can I do for myself? Not thinking about my image and my reputation. Bible says in Philippians, the second chapter, Jesus made himself of no reputation. He humbled himself under the mighty hand of God. He was only after the reputation of God. Let me tell you the end result of all intercessory prayer. The end result of all intercessory prayer is to bring glory to God. To bring glory to God. And when we talk about intercession, we're not just talking about intercession for our nation, but we should be intercessors. How about when your family gets attacked? How about when your spouse or your child gets attacked? Do we just walk around wringing our hands like, I don't know what we're going to do, or we just sit around and worry, or are we standing up and interceding? Are we praying in the Spirit? Are we speaking the Word of God? Because that's part of intercession. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We need to get back to the Father's business. Instead of looking just inside to ourselves, we've got to not be the introvert, but we've got to be the spiritual extroverts that begin to look out and to see. That's the reason Jesus told his disciples, lift up your heads and look, and the harvest is already white. It's ready for harvest. And we're so busy, consumed with our own lives, that we're not even thinking about the Great Commission. Every church, that's your calling. It's not how many people you have. It's not how much technology you have. It's not how much social media you have. Are you using those things for the kingdom of God? Are you getting those things just to impress people? It's not that you get up and worship God to see how great your voices are and your musical instruments and all of those things. It is to worship God so people's lives will be changed. Let this same mind be in us that was also in Christ Jesus. God looked for an intercessor during this time, at a dark time, and he was looking for one, and guess what? He found one for this time of history. It was Hannah. Her name was Hannah, a would-be mother that was a woman of influence, that her husband had blessed her with many gifts, but material things did not satisfy her deepest desire. She desperately wanted to have children, but guess what? She was barren. Let me ask you this. In your life right now, do you feel that you're barren in certain aspects of your own life? Do you feel inadequate? Do you feel unproductive? Do you feel unfruitful? Do you feel empty and depleted? Listen, let me just say this to you. You know what? One of the first things that God said to Adam and Eve was be fruitful and multiply. God created us to bear fruit in every area of our life for his kingdom. She was barren. Hannah was barren. But only God could turn this situation around. Only God could do it for her personally. And not only is he going to do it, but he's going to use it for his purpose and his glory. So when we look at something like this, or what you may be facing in your life, only a supernatural intervention of God's divine power could turn things around for Hannah and the nation also. God would use her barrenness to bring reform and revival to the nation. Listen to 1 Samuel, the first chapter, verse 10 and 11. And she was in bitterness of soul, this is Hannah, and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. And if you read this in the first chapter right above this, you'll find out that that her husband also had another wife, and she was producing, she was having children, and she was mocking and reproaching Hannah. She would do it year after year after year. And the Bible tells us in this story that year after year after year, they would come up to the temple, and her husband would present gifts and give them gifts to present and sacrifice to the Lord. But again, that did not satisfy Hannah. So then as you read, you'll see that Hannah finally gets up and she goes into the temple, not just to bring her gift, which she did, but she goes into the temple and begins to pray. And the Bible says she prayed to the Lord. She was in bitterness of soul. Let me ask you this. What does bitterness turn you to? A lot of people get bitter. They get angry. They get frustrated. They get mad. And in this bitterness, it can turn to hate. It can turn to racism. It can turn to prejudice. It can turn to murder. It can turn to all kinds of actions that we regret much, much later. Bitterness of soul. Bitterness. The enemy can put bitterness, and bitterness can become a root. You don't want bitterness to root and graft on the inside of you, because it will affect your physical body. It will affect everything that you do. And you'll eventually give yourself over to the enemy to allow for him to use you to do something that you will regret. What did she do? She was in bitterness of soul, prayed to the Lord, prayed to the Lord. She went to the Lord and she wept in anguish. It's okay for you to pour out your situation and your problem before God. Man, he can handle that. You don't have to go in big shot. There, I can't tell you how many times I've gone in and thrown myself on the floor on my knees and just wept and cried out to God. Yeah, I come back and get myself in faith, but I'm letting God know the things that are the burdens on my heart. Cast all of your care. What do you care about today? Cast it all on the Lord, because he cares for you. He says, then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and do not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. Wow, it's incredible. In other words, watch this. She changed her focus, because all she'd been praying about was a child. And she thought that was all it was about. But when she changed her focus to the kingdom of God and said, God, I'm asking you for this because I want you to use what I'm asking for. I want you, Father God, to supply this need, but while you're supplying this need, I'm going to use the supply that you give me or what you bless me with, and I'm going to let it be a blessing to the kingdom of God. So watch this. This is so vitally important. Intercession doesn't begin in the mouth. It starts with the eyes, seeing things that are out of God's will. And it is motivated when our ears hear statements of deception and lies contrary to the Word of God. Also, intercessory prayer is birthed out of when we find ourselves in adversarial conditions, and those things against us begins to look totally out of control. And then what begins to happen? There is a stirring in our spirit. There is an agitation that comes on the inside of here. There is a frustration that motivates a strong passion and groaning. And then it comes out of our mouth in intercession. See, her intercession was born out of affliction and cultural rejection, verbal abuse, society's disapproval and disdain. Being a Hebrew woman, she didn't have many rights except the one that was the most powerful. She had the right to pray and to intercede with God. Everything in your life can look like that it is going against you. Things falling apart. It looks like that I can't do anything. You may not be able to do anything in your own power, in your own strength. But remember what Tavis said a while ago. It's not by power and it's not by might, but it's by the Spirit of God. It's by the Spirit. Listen, you can have every right taken away from you. You can have all kinds of things just seized from you. But there is one thing that can never be taken from you as long as you're on this earth, and that is the power of intercessory prayer. You can intercede. You can intercede. You might not be able to convince your children about a certain thing. You may not be able to think that you can make an influence, but wherever you are, wherever you work, wherever you go, in your family, where it doesn't matter. There is no distance to it. It is the power of you being able to intercede with God for whatever situation that you see that's stirring up on the inside right here. Or you can go to bitterness and allow anger, and it's okay to have anger because the Bible says, be angry and sin not. When I saw the murder, the cold-blooded murder of that young man down in Georgia, Ahmaud, there was an agitation, there was an anger, there was a stirring, there was a weeping that came on the inside of me. Because I began to cry out and I began to intercede for our nation. Because right now, the works of the enemy seems to be greater than the works of the church. And that's the reason that God is calling us to repentance. He's calling us to repent of our selfishness. He's calling us to repent of our attention getting on everything else but Him. He's calling us to repent of thinking more about what people think about us than getting into the Word of God and feeding our souls, feeding us and renewing our minds to the Word of God. This is where we've got to look and say, God, forgive me for that I've been thinking about myself. Or God, forgive me that I haven't been a part of helping others or helping my local church or reaching out to other people or being the light and the salt in my school and in my work, in my neighborhood, and the places where I know that you have placed me to be an influence and to make a mark. God, forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive me for coming to church just to get my praise on and get my word and then get out of here. Father, forgive us for wanting people to serve us. Forgive us for being so critical and judgmental. Forgive us, oh God, instead of being a part of the solution, we continue to expound on the problem. God is saying right here through Hannah to every single one of us, because this Hebrew woman didn't have many rights. You may see yourself as a minority, or you may see yourself in a different light, but I'm going to tell you what you do have. Listen to me very carefully. No person can take away your right to pray and to intercede. And to intercede about your problem and about your issue. When that agitation comes up, get on your knees and start interceding. Start praying in the Spirit. This is the reason that God has put this message, this series of intercession on my heart. Society looked at her because she had no children. A woman's value came from the children she had, but she had none. So society and culture looked on her as less and worthless and a failure. But this woman would not accept that. This woman continued and would not stop interceding. Year, listen to this. It's in the Bible. Year after year after year, she would not stop interceding. She would not stop praying because she knew that her God was faithful. There's a higher purpose to this intercession, Hannah. There's a higher purpose than just a child. There was a plan in heaven because something spiritually was going on wrong in the earth, just like things are going on wrong right now in our own nation. You can't pray without passion about something until you feel a helplessness and a weakness and an emptiness. And then you see a great need. You see an injustice. You see gross deception that is beyond your natural abilities and means to change it. It is beyond politics. It's beyond anything that we could try to put together as a human organization to do it. But it's not beyond God's abilities, and it's not beyond His power, and it's not beyond His means. Praise God. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit begins to move upon her heart and stirs a passion. When the Holy Spirit starts moving upon our heart, stirring a passion, He's desiring for you and me to be vessels of intercession that will bring forth a divine and eternal purpose that has prepared for this time in history. Yes, history, writing history with God through our intercession. Remember we read that God has written and fashioned everything in His book. He's written and fashioned everything in His book for all of us as people. Every one of us individually and corporately. And what are we going to do for the kingdom of God? See, through intercession, we will write history with God as His intercessors, praying for His will and purposes to be done in this earth. Or we will allow society that is organized separate from God to write history based upon their choices in rebellion to God. I believe that there's going to be a third great awakening. You know why? Because I believe that we are waking up and there is an agitation in what we're seeing. Even if it's a fear, God's not giving you a spirit of fear, but there's a stirring, there's a passion, there should be a fire in you right now to begin to intercede and to pray for our nation. Pick your time, whenever that would be. We've got to get back to intercession. If we don't, we'll turn this nation over to the enemy. You don't believe that? Tell me where every church that Jesus addressed in Revelation, the second chapter and verse 3, where are they today? They're non-existent. Did He love them? Absolutely He loved them. 100%. But like the Laodicea church, they were more interested in themselves than what was going on around them. We've got to wake up to what's going on around us. And we've got to start interceding. By the way, I'm going to teach you as we go through this, I'm going to teach you. Not only did last Wednesday night I taught you how to intercede for the lost. Get my notes. You need to see that. If you hadn't seen it, you need to see it. And if you haven't you saw it and had not downloaded my notes, I got to ask, what is wrong with you? Because those notes tell you exactly how to intercede. Well, I'm just not one that just really prays a lot. Well, then change it. Change it. Change it. Change your habits. Put your priorities in order. Well, I just don't know exactly how to pray. You pray the Word of God. I taught you last Wednesday night how to pray for the lost. We need to pray for the lost. You know what's happening in America? It's those that are deceived and walking in darkness are making more impact than we that are walking in the light. It's up to us, and we have the power of intercession. And Hannah's intercession was answered when she changed her mind. Listen to this. When she changed her mind from being focused on her need and became kingdom-minded, as she said, give me a son and I'll give him back to you for your purposes. Everything that God gives us, He gives it as a blessing so we can be a blessing. Be a blessing to the kingdom of God and be a blessing to all of those around us, where we work, where we go, the things that we do. Everywhere. Everywhere. The other day I had to repent before God because I went to get something somewhere and there was a line, a long line. I was saying, oh, I'm not going to stand in line like that. I'm not going to stand in line. I'm not going to do this. But in my heart it was, but you really need to get this. I'm not going to sit here and stand in line. I'm not going to do that. I'm going somewhere else. So when I got home, the Lord just really came upon my heart. And He said, there could have been someone that I would put you in line with that you needed to witness to. But because it was an inconvenience, you passed up the opportunity. So I gave it to somebody else. What do you think that does? Man, that just wrenches my heart. So many times we're complaining about things when God can actually use that as an opportunity for His glory. An opportunity for somebody's life to be changed. Everything, regardless of how long the lines are or what you're having to do, you're probably there on an appointment because your name has already been written. Think about this. When you pray about your prosperity and God blessing you, do you pray like this? It's in the Bible in 2 Corinthians, the ninth chapter. God, I pray that you will multiply my seed. I pray, Father God, that you will make all grace abound toward me so that at all times I have all sufficiency, listen to this, Bible, to be able to give to every good work. See, God told Abraham, He said, Abraham, I'm going to bless you so you can be a blessing. Everything that God blesses us with, it is not for just for us to take for ourselves and use for ourselves, but it can be used also for the kingdom of God. So many things, so many times. The giftings and everything that we have. What are we doing with our giftings that God has given us to be able to use it for the kingdom of God? And you know what? Every single time you do that with your time, God redeems the time. For you personally, because He'll not be a debtor to anybody. We've got to get our mind thinking properly, like Hannah. We've got to be able to switch and turn and just say, God, I have this need, but the need is not just for me, even though I'll be blessed with it, but I'm going to give back to you and to the kingdom and to my nation and to my city and to my neighborhood and to my family. That's what we've got to think about. There's no room for selfishness. And there's no room for prejudice. And there's no room in the body of Christ for racism. Love never fails. Jesus said, the world will know that you're my disciples by your love for one another. Not our division for one another, not our arguing with one another, but our love for one another. How does that come? It comes when we start interceding for it and we start calling for it in the name of Jesus. And it comes when I look at all my brothers and sisters, regardless of what the color of their skin are, and I say, brother, sister, I love you. I love you. And I care about you. And I'm interceding for you. What's happening in our nation today? Church is not interceding. The least attended prayer meeting before COVID-19, the least attended prayer meeting in the church was prayer meetings. Some churches, a lot of churches, don't even have prayer meetings anymore at all. Why? We don't need them. We're so technologically advanced, and we got so many cool things going on, and we're operating with the culture and talking like the culture and acting like the culture. And man, it's cool where the culture can't tell if I'm different. And the Bible tells me light is diametrically different than darkness. My lifestyle, when I got saved, my lifestyle totally changed. Not that I was walking in total maturity. There's a growth process that takes place. Yes, I made mistakes and did all kinds of things. But the more that I grew, the more I got into the Word of God, oh gosh, the more I started praying and travailing that I wanted my life to be conformed to the image of Christ. I wanted my life to be a representative. Oh God, I want my life to bring glory and honor to your name. It's amazing what God did. So the rest is history when Anna was praying. Revival and reformation came through Samuel. Came through Samuel. Came through her intercession. She gave birth to revival and reformation. It's up to you and I to pray and give birth to the third great awakening. It is up to us to intercede and pray and give birth to revival. It is up to us to intercede and to pray to bring peace and love and unity back to our nation. It's up to us, because when we intercede, God moves. And when you give of yourself on behalf of others, on behalf of the kingdom of God, on behalf of our nation, on behalf of the world, on behalf of the lost, praying for people that are sick, praying for people in those areas, here's what the Bible says, last scripture. Give and it will be given. Give and you will receive. Give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over, will be poured into your lap. The amount you will give will determine the amount you get back. That's Luke 6:38, and Jesus said that. The more I give out, the more he fills me up. My cup runs over. Why does my cup run over? It runs over so that others can partake of the blessing that's in the cup. That's what God wants more than anything. Church, intercede. Houses of prayer, intercede. Intercede. If you're not a house of prayer, you should be, because God said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Every house in covenant love and all of our online church, every house should be a house of prayer. And we should be right now praying and interceding. And this coming Wednesday night, I'm going to teach you how to pray in the Spirit. When you don't know how to pray, and you don't have the articulate language, or you don't have the what you think is the vocabulary prayer, I'm going to teach you how to pray the perfect will of God in every single situation. And God has given us a blessing on that. Can you say amen? I want to ask you right now, is Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? We've been praying for you. Matter of fact, some of you that are watching me right now, your moms have been praying for you. Your mothers, and some of your mothers have already graduated to heaven, and you're watching me right now, and I am a part of your mother's prayer coming to say to you, if you call upon the name of Jesus, you shall be saved. Where are you going to spend eternity? With all this going on around us, which is also prophesied in the Bible, what are you going to do when Jesus returns? What are you going to do? I tell you what you can do right now. You can let Jesus save you. You can allow your life right now to be totally, completely changed. How does that happen? You come out of darkness into light. Your sins are forgiven by the blood of Jesus. He died on the cross just for you as your substitute. He died for the sin of the whole world, and you're in the world. He died for you. He created you skillfully and wonderfully. He has a purpose and a plan for your life. And you can become an intercessor and pray and see things change. See your friends born again. See things change all around you. You have the power through being born again of intercessory prayer. And God wants you to come back into his family. That's what he wants more than anything. And maybe you've been away from the Lord, you've backslidden, and God is saying to you right now, come on back, son. Come on back, daughter. Don't be out there and allow the devil to beat you up. And he does a great job of that. He will try to kill, steal, and destroy in your life. But you know what? Every curse, everything that is out there can be broken right now if you receive Jesus as the Lord of your life. If you'd like to do that, I want you to pray this with me right now. Pray this out loud. Father God, I thank you for your son Jesus. I believe that he died for me and you raised him from the dead and he is alive. Today, Father, I repent of all my sin and I ask your forgiveness. And today, right now, I confess Jesus Christ as Lord of my life. Thank you, Father. My friend, if you prayed that with me, and you confess Jesus as the Lord of your life, and you believe that in your heart, right now all your sins have been forgiven. Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life, and now you have a new destiny. God has a new plan and a new purpose for your life. By the way, if you prayed with me and said, Pastor, I prayed with you, I just got saved today, I want you to punch that I got saved button. I want you to, or text I got saved to 97,000. Text I got saved to 97,000 and let me know. I want to know that you got saved. And not only that, we're going to send you a little booklet called The Accepted. And I want to show you exactly what you're to do now that you've been born again. Can you say amen? Praise the Lord. I love it with all my heart when people receive Jesus just like I did. I'll never forget that night and receive Jesus. My whole life changed. I was delivered from so many things God delivered me from, and I just believe He's delivering you from that also. And by the way, don't forget to watch on Wednesday night, this coming Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, because I'm going to be teaching you how to be filled, overflowing with the power of the Holy Spirit and how to pray in the Spirit. It's going to really open your eyes to a lot of things, and I just believe we're going to pray and the power of God is going to be there also. And for all of you viewing us, I want to thank you for giving. God bless you. Covenant Love, thank you for continuing to give. We're going to continue to move forward. We're not going to give up in this season. We're not going to stop in this season. Just as the Bible says, given it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shedding together, running over. Men will give into your bosom. And by the way, just because we're not right here in the auditorium, we are still here in the body of Christ. This Covenant Love is your church. Here in Fayetteville and around, online, everywhere, we're still bringing you the Word of God. We're still supporting our missionaries and doing the things that God has called us to do. So just because we don't see one another, don't stop your giving, okay? Don't stop your giving. We've got a lot to do and a lot to accomplish. And we're going to continue to pray. We're going to continue to intercede. And we're going to believe that God's turning this around. And we're going to see a great outpouring of the Spirit of God. I'm actually believing there's going to be a monumental worldwide outpouring of the Spirit of God on May 31st, which is Pentecost. Pentecost Sunday. I'm just believing it. So start interceding. Start interceding. Start believing with me. Amen. That we're going to see it happen. So you're giving. You can give on the website. There's a text to give on the phone. You can mail it in. You can come by the church. We have a mail drop. You can drop it off there. However you do, just do it, and God bless you, and we thank you for it. Amen. Listen, give birth to God's designs in this earth right now through your intercession. Happy Mother's Day. We love y'all. God bless you. Mwah. We love you. And have a great week in the Lord through intercession. God bless you.